is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. In recent years, the Archdiocese of Baltimore has been blessed with a significant increase in the number of people stepping forward to answer the call to religious life. Joining us to talk about it is Father Stephen Roth, Director of Vocations and Associate Vicar for Clergy for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Father Roth, a former pastor of St. Isaac Jogues in Kearney, was ordained to the priesthood in 2012 and has served as Vocations Director since 2018. He's also a former host of Catholic Review Radio. So, Father Roth, good to have you back on Catholic Review Radio.
Oh, thanks so much, George. I always love getting this invitation to come back.
So, we've seen a positive trend with increasing numbers of seminarians and ordinations in the Archdiocese. Could you kind of give us a data overview? What are some of the numbers there?
Sure. We're very excited. And I guess just to qualify before I mention numbers, it's easy to celebrate the numbers, but what's underneath the numbers is what we are most excited about, in the sense of the quality of men that are stepping forward and answering the Lord's call to say, I think that the Lord is calling me to be a priest. And that's what we're really thrilled about. Right now, we hit a new mark in our history where we have 60 seminarians studying for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We accepted 12 new men this year. 11 of those are native-born in the United States, and one from Colombia. And the other part that I'm just thrilled that it's happened, we also have a seminarian from St. Peter's out in Western Maryland. And that's been an area of the Archdiocese that we knew had vocations, and we're just trying to tap into that. And thankfully, Father Bill Cowan has been a wonderful shepherd out there, and we have a seminarian now studying from Western Maryland.
Who are some of these new guys that have just been accepted? Can you kind of tell us about some of their backgrounds, where they're coming from, what areas of the Archdiocese, so age range, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. It really spans the gamut. I mean, we have guys that have just recently graduated from high school that are entering, all the way up to, we have a young man who had a great job at Amazon working in the IT department, and he recently entered. Parish-wise, we have guys from Nativity, St. John's in Saburna Park, St. John's in Frederick, Resurrection, Holy Family in Davidsonville, just a whole cast of different parishes. And I think it's because all of the parishes across the Archdiocese are praying with a great intention of saying, we want men to say yes to this call, and we're seeing the fruit of those prayers.
What is driving this renewed interest, do you think? Why are guys stepping forward to consider the priesthood?
I guess that's a somewhat of a twofold answer. I think part of it is that we just have phenomenal pastors throughout the Archdiocese that love their ministry, and it's contagious. People see that these men are happy, even though they're hardworking and there are certainly difficult days. But these men see that their pastors and associate pastors are happy and are making a difference. And that's very appealing to our applicants. The other is our own seminarians. I always joke that I'm proud of the poster that Father Mac creates and all the different programs, but it's the quality and caliber of the men who are in our local parishes, serving in schools, simply being in neighborhoods throughout the Archdiocese. And young men see them, and they're impressed by their witness and example, and they want to follow in their footsteps. And the decision for these men to enter seminary is not to become a priest. Many of them feel pretty strongly and confidently, and they should. But the step to enter seminary is that they feel that the Lord is calling them to continue to discern. And that next step in seminary is the best for them, and in the sense of not going on to another college or university or taking another year of discernment, but being intentional of entering seminary, being with other like-minded men, praying and studying, and also having some fun with, you know, in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm. Now, a few years ago, Pope Francis instituted what is called the propaedeutic year for new seminarians. Could you explain what that is? And then will all these new men be going through that program, or will some of them be starting straight into seminary theological formation?
Sure. So we're only in this for a few years. It's a relatively new innovation of Pope Francis and the Dicastery, but it's the first year of formation. And this is for men, whether they're entering in right out of high school or if they have college or even some work experience. And it's a year where the men are focusing much more on human formation, so growing in maturity, responsibility, discipline, and also developing a pretty significant prayer life. And the idea is that it gives them that foundation so that once they go on to theological studies or philosophical studies, that they have that strong foundation first of they have a well-balanced lifestyle. And we have two programs. One is run out of St. Mary's Seminary at the McGivney House downtown in Baltimore. And the other house that we use is the Rother House, which is through the Mount, and that's over at the Seton Shrine.
So all of these men will then be in one of those programs as newly accepted.
With the exception of the men that are entering in right out of high school, their propedeutic year takes place at John Paul II Seminary, where then they'll continue on for their philosophical studies.
Okay.
One interesting note that is the first that we've faced in many years is that because John Paul II has so many seminarians, they're at capacity, that this is the first year in a long time that they couldn't take all of the men that we've accepted. And so we started sending a few guys up to St. Charles Seminary right outside of Philadelphia. We're excited about this new adventure. We're certainly praying that they don't become Eagles fans while they're up there. But it's a terrific problem to have that we had to extend to yet another seminary.
What impresses you about these men? You've obviously come to know them, you've interviewed them, they've gone through extensive background checks. What impresses you about them?
Wow, George, there's so much that impresses me about them. They love the Lord. They're so sincere in their desire to figure out if he's calling them to be a priest or not. Once they enter, they are very intentional with regards to the brotherhood and fraternity. When I announced that we would be sending a few new seminarians to St. Charles, one of the guys from JP2 asked if I wanted him to also go to St. Charles so that he could assure them that they are comfortable and remain connected to the archdiocese. And they're just selfless men. And also, what to me is very notable is that these are not guys that can't do anything else and just feel like, all right, well, maybe I'll see it. You know, the church is supposed to be loving and understanding, and so they'll take me. No, these are men that are bright, talented, they're strong athletes, they could really do anything. And yet they come with a tremendous sense of docility and just saying, I want to put myself before the Lord and figure out if he's calling me to be a priest. It edifies me every day to be able to work with them and to encourage them through this process.
Quo Vadis, which is the Archdiocese of Baltimore's annual summer vocations camp for young boys and teens, that was held this past summer in July, I believe, and they had over 100 young men attending that. Can you tell us about Quo Vadis, what it is, and how that works in promoting vocations, not just to the priesthood, but general vocations?
Well, in answering that question, I have to mention Father Matt Himes, the Associate Vocation Director. That is really his project. I had the easy job of just showing up every day to greet the kids, and I celebrated the closing mass. But Father Matt works with a team of pastoral year men. Those are men who take a year out of seminary and they just spend it in the parish to get a firsthand look at what parish life is like. They work throughout the entire year to build this program. And it was just a few years ago that we had to have a discussion as to whether we would even have Quo Vadis because there were so few guys signing up. And now it's a point of where we may be looking at a waiting list. But it's a fun week. It's a week during the summer where they gather at St. Mary's Seminary. It's not a priest camp. It's not just for guys that are discerning priesthood. We try to provide an experience for them to just be open to the Lord and to strive for holiness. And we think that in the backdrop, or having the backdrop of a seminary, it not only helps them to discern whether God is calling them to be a priest, but even if not so, that time with seminarians and priests through Quo Vadis, that it'll help to form and shape these men that as they become adults, that they'll have strong relationships with priests. So even if the Lord is calling them to get married and contribute to the church in a beautiful way, in that capacity, that because of these positive experiences that when they find the woman of their dreams, that they want to get married in the church because they want a priest involved in that sacrament, or when, God willing, after they're married, that they're blessed with children, that they'll want the children to be baptized and raise them in the faith, again, based on this very initial interaction that they have with priests and seminarians during what is a prayerful, informative, but also it's a week where there's a whole lot of fun that happens too.
I recently had a conversation with Father Michael Fabiano, who is the director of the diaconate for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And he told me that there are currently 9 men in formation to become permanent deacons for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. They just completed a 2-year aspirancy program, and they are now candidates. So they'll be spending the next 3 years in theological study and pastoral ministry, and they'll eventually be ordained in 2028. At the same time, we recently had a woman who professed her final vows as an oblate Sister of Providence right here in Baltimore. And there have been several other men and women who have joined religious communities. So it seems like it's not just priestly ministry that's flourishing, it's other forms of religious life. Could you talk about that a little bit?
It's really exciting, George. I know that we have so much to be worried about and concerned with, whether it's gun violence or so many other things that are happening in the world. But there's also a whole lot to rejoice in and celebrate. And I think that the illustrations or the examples that you've mentioned with permanent deacons or men and women religious, they're looking where the world is telling us, think about yourself first and others later. Try to amass as much money as possible. Try to be as successful in the world's eyes as possible, and that's what's going to make you happy. And I think that a lot of people are realizing that that's not the case. And many are realizing that as that isn't the case, that they want to serve in a very specific capacity to help when people are discerning and thinking through how they want to live their life. They want to be priests, deacons, or men and women religious to help to bring to a world that so desperately needs it. The love and compassion of Christ through the Catholic Church. So, sure, it's a dark time for many reasons, but it's also a very bright time as well.
Well, our guest today is Father Stephen Roth, and we're talking about vocations in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in a moment, and we'll continue our conversation. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Thousands of pilgrims gathered in Emmitsburg to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the canonization of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, the first American-born saint. The 3-day commemoration, held September 12th through 14th at the National Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, featured concerts, lectures, and more. Baltimore Archbishop William E. Lurie celebrated a special nationally televised mass, joined by bishops and religious leaders from across the country. The Shrine also announced a 10-year, $50 million campaign to preserve the historic basilica, expand programs, and share Mother Seton's legacy with new generations. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. In Jerusalem, history came to life as the oldest organ in Christendom sounded for the first time in more than 800 years. The 11th-century instrument, reconstructed from original pipes, was unveiled at the Franciscan Monastery of St. Xavier in the Old City. Spanish organist David Catalunya, who helped lead the 5-year restoration project, played the instrument September 9th and said the experience was like opening the tomb of a pharaoh. The organ was originally built in France in the 11th century and was used there for nearly a century. It was transported to the Holy Land and Bethlehem by the Crusaders a century later, where it sounded in the Church of the Nativity for another century. Then it was painstakingly dismantled and the pipes buried underground along with a set of bells to protect them from Muslim invaders in 1244. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. And finally, dozens of small handmade signs and large banners waved in the crowd of some 30,000 visitors in St. Peter's Square, wishing Pope Leo XIV a happy 70th birthday on September 14th. The Archdiocese of Baltimore is sending the Pope a book of well wishes from Catholics throughout the Archdiocese in honor of his birthday. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking today with Father Stephen Roth, Director of Vocations and Associate Vicar for Clergy for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Father Roth, what are some of the ways that the Archdiocese promotes religious vocations? We talked about Quo Vadis in the last segment, but what are some of the other ways?
Well, Father Matt Himes very much coordinates as the Associate Vocation Director, organizes and coordinates throughout the year very creative ways of encouraging vocations. And he does that by a program called Take the Journey, where there are some high schools in the Archdiocese that participate with us, and they visit St. Mary's Seminary or Mount St. Mary's, and they basically just spend the day there. They'll meet other seminarians, and they just have a great time. So that's one way. In our last segment, we talked about Quo Vadis. Father Matt and I are in different parishes preaching about vocations. We have a St. Andrew dinner once a year, where that's a dinner with the Archbishop, where we pray beforehand and then have just a casual dinner, and the Archbishop will address the young men who are discerning. So there's a variety of ways. If you don't mind me allowing a quick commercial, next year's Quo Vadis is going to be July 6th through the 9th. So we're hoping that a lot of guys will sign up for that as well. And the last is just encouraging people to pray. I don't think it's a special sauce or secret recipe, but the Lord answers the prayers of his people. And there is certainly, again, I go back to this word of intentionality in praying for more vocations. And praise God, we're seeing the results of that.
I know some of the women's religious communities have come and see events where they invite young women to spend some time with the sisters or learn about the ministry, the various charisms of the orders. What are some of the ways that the women religious promote religious vocations or encourage people to learn more about religious vocation?
Well, it's interesting that because religious vocations are a bit different from diocesan, they approach discernment in a unique way, where for us, because diocesan is so broad, we have this overarching vocation office. But because religious communities are very focused on particular charisms, whether it's teaching, preaching, whether it's caring for the poor, what happens is if we have a young woman that approaches us and says, I think the Lord might be helping or might be calling me to discern a particular religious vocation, Father Matt and I will help to work with them to see, is there a particular charism that they're attracted to? And then if there is, then we connect them to that individual vocation director, and they take it from there, whether it's a come and see weekend, whether they have different discernment events throughout the Archdiocese. Again, it's religious vocations are much more particular to an individual charism, whereas diocesan, it's more broad.
And I know in the coming months, there's going to be a series of information sessions for men interested in the permanent diaconate. So in the next issue of the Catholic Review, there'll be some information about that, and we'll also be on the Archdiocesan website. So anyone interested in learning more about the permanent diaconate can check out the next issue of the Catholic Review for more information there. What can parents do to support religious vocations or to encourage their sons and daughters to think about them?
I would say, George, that the biggest thing is to start a conversation as early as possible. Again, never forcing their son or daughter into discernment. But I always am fascinated that if we can talk to a five-year-old boy that says, hey, I want to be the next star quarterback of the Ravens, or a girl wants to be a ballerina or an astronaut, and we can talk about those, and they're possibilities, but most likely they're not going to happen. If we can talk about that at such an early age, I invite parents to also talk about religious vocations. Just make it normal that priesthood is among many options that the Lord might be calling you to. And the more that that conversation can become normal, then it invites young people to feel comfortable to talk to their moms and dads or their siblings or their grandparents, ask about questions. And then in the midst of that openness, vocations can be cultivated, whether to the religious life, to priesthood, or even to marriage. The other is that I'm hoping that our priests, you know, are going to continue to be able to partner with parents of children, in the sense that right now, over the next 3 years, we're blessed, God willing, this happens, but we'll have 22 new priests in the next 3 years. And what that's going to do is we've begun to start sending priests back into our high schools on a part-time basis. Now we're beginning to look at the reality of, can we afford to send some of our priests in a full-time status? And I don't mean afford in the sense of financially, but do we have the resources? Can we afford the manpower to go into our schools? And the reason that the Archbishop and I feel so strongly about it is that, especially in high school, that's where I think that we start to lose, we begin to lose children in the sense of they begin to question their faith. And while it's great to have strong teachers and parents helping, but to have a priest there to work alongside of them, to me, I really think that's going to be a game changer as well when it comes to not only faith, but in particular discernment of vocations as well.
There are a lot of groups that support vocations as well, and the seminarians and ordained priests. I'm thinking of the Seven Sisters Apostolate, which is all focused on praying for priests. And then you have the Sarah Club, which does tremendous work supporting vocations.
Yes, the Sarans are very generous, not only in their own prayer. Each Saran has a prayer partner, which is a seminarian. The Sarans also are so kind. Every July during our seminarian retreat, they host a crab feast, which is a whole lot of fun for the seminarians as well as the Sarans. Another group that strongly supports vocations are the Knights of Columbus. They offer scholarships throughout the year to our men. There are countless others. I know I'm going to get in trouble for not remembering everyone, but there are the Holy Name Society, the Catholic Daughters of America. There are just so many folks that are extremely generous and kind in supporting our men, both financially as well as, and most importantly, spiritually as well.
If someone is thinking about becoming a priest, what is the first thing he should do?
Definitely pray. And there are also resources. We have a great website called bemorevocations.org. Again, it's bemorevocations.org. And there are tons of resources. You'll get to learn about many of our seminarians and their stories, resources in discernment, just a whole cast of things to help. Because we live in a day and age now where, because a lot of folks are doing research through the internet, their discernment happens before they even talk to anyone. And that's both good and bad. And what we try to do is, because of that reality, we wish that the first step was to talk to their parish priest or their parent. But I just think that a lot of our young people are used to doing it virtually first. And so we try to meet them where they're at, that as they're discerning on their own, even though we wish that they would partner with us, but as they are discerning, there are a lot of resources on that Be More Vocation page that can help guide them and direct them.
What are some of the things a person should not do? I'm thinking of maybe putting it off, waiting a year, and then that becomes 5 years, and then 10 years, and they still haven't given it a shot. Is that one of those?
Yes, George, I think you hit the nail on the head. There's always that temptation. Well, I want to wait, whether it's I'm trying to become holier or I'm just not sure yet. The biggest decision is to say, is entering the seminary going to help me to answer the question whether I want to be a priest or not? Entering the seminary is not to become a priest. It's to discern. And the more that young men can focus on that, or even, for instance, young women who are interested in religious life, realizing that that first step is not signing on the dotted line, as they say, but it's really just being open to God's will. The other is to realize that, you know, I've met many people who have told me that they just were afraid to discern, and so they never entered seminary or a religious community, and they regret it. I've never really met anyone that gave himself to formation or herself to formation that regretted it. We have some men, sure, we always pray and hope that everyone that enters seminary will become priests, but we've had several men discern that the Lord was not calling them through seminary, that he was not calling them to be priests. And now they're fantastic husbands and fathers. So it's, again, just looking at, it really isn't that big of a decision. It's, gosh, if the Lord has placed this on my heart, then I think I need to pursue this. And by entering seminary, you grow in your faith, you become more educated, you meet other good, holy men. It's a win-win for sure.
We have about a minute left. Is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
I guess, George, the last thing that I want to say is just really a word of thanks. This is not something that I could ever do on my own. I'm so lucky to be blessed to have Father Matt, who works tirelessly throughout the year on these projects, my brother priests throughout the Archdiocese, and also the lay faithful of the parishes. Every time I travel to a different parish, they always tell me, oh, we're praying for the seminarians and we're praying for you. And I just am filled with a heart of gratitude for all that everyone does. This is a partnership. This is a team effort. It's not one or two people just doing it. And I just hope that your listeners will understand my great gratitude for all that they do.
Great. Well, our guest today has been Father Stephen Roth, Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Father Roth, thanks again for being here today.
Thanks again for the opportunity, George. I always appreciate it.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week, available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.